on parent phase plus a success. So we just said like this. Alright, so Eliyahu HaNavi just took Elisha to three different places. He brought him over to Gilgal, then to Beis El, and then to Yericho. All three places he expected Elisha to say goodbye, and then he wouldn't come back, and that would be it. But Elisha said no. Elisha was going with him no matter where he went. So it says, Vayikas Eliyahu Zadar to Vayigla. So Eliyahu HaNavi took his cloak, rolled it up, Vayakas Amayim, and after he rolled it up, like sort of like a towel, you know what I'm saying? Like, smacked the water. Vayechatsu Hena Vahena, and the water divided this way and that way. The Abrushna and Macharava, they both were able to cross on to dry land. Others say that it doesn't mean it rolled it up, but rather he bunched it up. He made it into a big thing and he put it on top. Obviously, this is a miracle. This could not be something normal that Eliyahu HaNavi did. There's no way to split
what is the reasoning the sea for normal. Happening? Yeah, if he couldn't just use his hands, why?
I would assume that you have to use some type of a maisa. In other words, you got to use something to be able to be there.
Maybe it's a narrow area of the Jordan River, and he just kind of put his thing over so they would walk on.
Yeah, I doubt it, though. Wouldn't be listed as a miracle. But Yika Abram. So was as they were crossing, they were all Marisha.
Kind of so less miraculous, yeah. Just to turned into a bridge.
Yeah, but I don't think it was a small thing. But Eliyahu Amar Elisha, Eliyahu said to Elisha, Sha'alma Asalacha B'tarna Lakaf Me'imach, ask for what I can give you before I am taken from you. By Amar Elisha, V'hina Pishnayim Ruchacha Eli, I would like you to give double your spirit upon me, which is an unbelievable thing to ask for.
Why don't you ask for more? Why don't you ask for like triple?
Well, for everything. So by Amar Yikshisa Elisha, you've asked for something very difficult. In Tira Osi Lukach Me'itach, if you watch me, if you're able to see me taken from you, then it will be so that you'll get that double amount. But if you won't be able to see me go yet, then you don't deserve it, and that's that. Now, at this point, Eliyahu HaNavi, although he was trying to leave him the other three places, since Elisha had gone this far, he realized that he was special and he did deserve to have something extra more than other people had gotten. He told him, now you get to ask for a present. You get to ask for something because you followed behind me and you were willing to go to this highest level that's over there. It could be that it was even for consolation. You know, you're going to be bitter over the loss of the fact that you're going to be gone now. So because you're being, you know, you're going to be bitter, so I'll give you something. Now, what's the pshat behind two times? The fact is he asked for two times the amount of miracles that Eliyahu HaNavi did. Eliyahu HaNavi in the Nevi'im themselves did nine miracles. The nine miracles were, right, the ravens bring them bread and meat to eat every day. Number two, the woman of Tsarfas pouring out the small amounts of bread and oil or whatever that she had stayed with her the entire time. Number three was the Tchias Amesim of that woman's son, who may be Yonah. The fourth was, that was the bread and water brought to him in the desert. What was number one?
I don't know, that was more of a Hashem doing it.
I'm sorry?
Hashem was more sending. It wasn't like...
That was still a miracle. I guess the fact that he was able to survive for those 40 days, 40 nights in the desert. The fifth was the food was able to make him stay there for 40 days without eating anything else. The sixth was, where is it? It was, the drought. The drought, and Ahab was unable to find him to stop the drought. Number seven was the fire that came down at Har HaKarmel. Number eight was the destruction of fire of the soldiers of Ahaziah who were sent to arrest him. Remember, that was right before, that was in the last parak, where the soldiers were sent to arrest him and he kept killing each one of them. And the ninth was right over here when he split the Jordan River. And he did that over there. So Elisha asked for double that amount and he got 18 altogether. Yeah.
What's the significance of being over miracles? Does it lend them validity to the
Nevuah? Okay, so let's go into two different things over here. There's two important things we have to know that are all together that should be well known.
16, you did it 8, and then...
Oh, maybe it's 16 and
16.
Oh, sorry, that's right. Maybe it's 8 and 16. Maybe one of these is the split of the Jordan River. I don't know why it doesn't mention that over there. I think that's a bit of a mistake. But the split of the Jordan River is the famous one.
The Jordan River already has a job about
9 and 18.
Split it, because it kind of gets split.
Yeah, so like that. Well, no, the Jordan River is supposed to be the 8th miracle. That is there, but this might be a mess up. Yeah. Making a bridge that quickly would be impressive. either way, let's go into this for a second. Eliyahu HaNavi and Elisha worked through the same methods, meaning there are ways that Talmidei Chachamim have the ability to bring about miracles, and they can do things through Shemos HaKadoshim, in other words, the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By using those names, they're able to create things or do things that just are supernatural, beyond the normal nature of the world and everything like that. There's another way of causing miracles, and the other way of causing miracles is by tefillah, by davening, or by praying in some way, shape, or form for the miracle to come to you, where he would stand up, daven, and the miracle would come. Now, by Eliyahu HaNavi, we did see that, especially the Har HaKarmel, he davened, Aneni Hashem, Aneni, answer me, God, answer me. He was not using Shemos HaKadoshim, he was davening and asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help. So too by the Tzchias Meisav Yonah, he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be able to heal the boy. So too by Elisha, we see that every single one of his miracles dealt with something that had to do with tefillah. It wasn't necessarily through Shemos HaKadoshim, but through his Torah learning, but rather through his tefillah and what he did over there. Now, there is a mila to tefillah over learning in that way. That although, in certain regards, learning is greater than davening, but nonetheless, davening is greater than learning in the sense that it can happen immediately because a Kaddish Baruch Hu can get involved, while by the Shemos HaKadoshim, those things can be taken down by either Kishuf or other things that are in this world, or if nature has a certain order, it doesn't automatically happen. Reb Pinchas ben Yair, for example, when he tried to split the river in order to cross it in the Gemara in Chulin, the river said to him, I'm doing my job. Why should I split for you? And Reb Pinchas ben Yair was using Torah. When that happens, Torah does not always have the ability to supersede anything that is natural. But while somebody does it through tefillah, it automatically happens. And that's the difference between those two. Now, Elisha was able to ask for double the amount. How are you able to ask for double the amount? And here's the answer how. Every person has their life, their normal life, and then the last day of their life. The last day of anybody's life, they are doubly as powerful on that day than they are on any other day of their entire lives. In fact, they're doubly as great. It becomes as if you're so great you're able to impart or give over to other people double your power on that day. So when Elisha saw great tzaddikim or great rishayim as well. Now, that's the reason why when Avram Avinu and Nimrod died on the same day, it says on that day by Yigdal Hayaladim, Yigdal and Aaron, Yaakov and Esav grew. Why did they grow? Who was with Nimrod when Nimrod died? Well, Esav killed him. So Esav killed Nimrod and thus took twice the amount of evil that Nimrod had. Who was with Avram Avinu when Avram Avinu died? Yaakov. And Yaakov grew twice as big. So Rav Wolfson has a famous idea of what happened on that day. Famous idea of what happened to Haman's grandchildren. Haman's grandchildren were learning Torah in Bnei Brak. The last day of Haman's life, Haman was with his wife. He's together with his wife right after eating a meal with Esther and Achashverosh. Anybody know what that meal was? Says Rav Wolfson. It was the Seder meal. He had matzah and murr and wine the whole Seder night. The only Seder that was eaten by Klal Yisrael that night, because everybody else was fasting, was eaten by Haman. It was eaten by Haman. Haman became kadosh from that and became two times as great in the last day of his life, so that when he was together with his wife, he was able to give over that power. Elisha knew this about Eliyahu HaNavi. So at the end of his life, he said to Eliyahu HaNavi, since you're dying now, you have the ability to give me twice as great as all that greatness as you have. He said, Eliyahu HaNavi, I could, but only if you're right. Only if you deserve it. So he said, the way that you'll deserve it is if you can see me. If you're able to see me, that means you were elevated to an unbelievable height.
This is where I saw him at his last moment, and he was able to speak,
and that's how you're able to take
it. And stop producing miracles.
Because Eliyahu HaNavi has still been around, you mean. But now it's a different way. Eliyahu the Malach is different from Eliyahu HaNavi.
He didn't really die.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's kind of brought up in a fiery chariot.
He's now known as a Malach. Okay. That's the level that he's supposed to be in, and that's why it's different.
No, but back to my question.
Well, by the way, that is important halachic ramifications. We always say the word teku means tishvi yitzaretz kushi zivayis. In actuality, teku means let it be as it is. Okay, but teku is translated as tishvi yitzaretz kushi zivayis, that Eliyahu HaNavi should answer them all up. Teku appears all over the Gemara. The Gemara goes through many, many times with Amal Raim and the Tanaim were talking with Eliyahu HaNavi. Why not just ask him? So why not just ask him? Rabbi Kiva Eger asked this question. He says, if teku means tishvi yitzaretz kushi zivayis, why wouldn't they just ask him? The answer is Eliyahu HaNavi, so it must be he's a Malach. If it's lo bashamayim, he's not in the heavens, so you can't ask him the kasha, that means he's not a human being anymore. That means he's an actual Malach, yeah. No, teku actually means it is a third grade Rebbe, but nonetheless, Rabbi Kiva Eger knew it, so he said, how could it be, if possible, so he answered up the kasha. That's that.
Hebrew means a tie.
What?
Nowadays, when it's a tie game, it's teku.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
That's what it is?
Teku means to sit it on its place, to let it be as is. The Rush says that. So that's that's how they end up saying. Regardless, that's what it ends up being over here. Now, let's go to the next line over here. Yeah, it does go through. Eliyahu HaNavi has been able to come down because his body took on some type of a levush. It's called levush hasheni or levush hashani. It's mentioned by the Ramban at the end of Parshas Vayechi that mentions this type of levush that Eliyahu HaNavi is able to have in order to appear physical to different people. He never really disappeared from Elisha. Elisha always had him. But you know the famous COVID shira from Rabbi Chanan? Rabbi Chanan asks, what's the status of Eliyahu HaNavi's wife? If Eliyahu HaNavi was married, is she able to remarry or not? Gosh, yes. Famous Shiloh. Famous Shiloh had many, many different answers given. Yeah.
Still, what's the point of asking miracles? Why not ask for a greater nebuah?
The ability to daven the way that Eliyahu HaNavi had, but a greater ability to daven. It's not about the 8 and the 16 or the 9 and the 18, as I was saying before. It's not about the amount of miracles per se. It's to show you that his koach hatfilah was twice as great as Eliyahu HaNavi's. It was like the power that Eliyahu HaNavi had to daven in the last day of his life. So it's not a, don't think of like quantitatively, well, he asked for 16 miracles. That's not the point. It was to be as great as he could possibly be. It says, Vayyeh Maholchen, Halof Vidaber. So they were walking. They were going as they were walking and talking to each other. There was a chariot of fire and horses of fire that separated between them. And then Eliyahu HaNavi went up in a heaven, in a storm up to Shemayim. So what were they talking about? Because I'll say they had to be talking about Torah. Because otherwise the chariot of fire would have consumed them. And we learn from here that whenever people are walking together, you got to have the great Torah between them. Some say they were talking about Maisa Bereishis. Some say they were talking about the Gula Sita Lavo. Some say they were talking about rebuilding the base of Mikdash. Some say they were talking about Kriya Shema. Some say they were talking about Maisa Merkava, the chariot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what they were going into and everything like that. Yeah. He didn't give an answer for Eliyahu HaNavi's wife. Rabbi Chanan said that Eliyahu HaNavi's wife is mutter because when you're going up to Shemayim, it says, if you're dead. That was his line. So it says, if he had died.
But what does that mean? So he was in an airplane.
No. Up to Shemayim meaning not to be
seen.
Really
anymore. High there.
Yeah. I mean, not to be seen. Even if you're going to space, that wouldn't matter up your wife. It would be, you're no longer going to be able to come back. That would be the line.
I would think maybe the answer would be from the fact that Elisha tore Kriya, meaning that he's gone, he's not coming back.
Oh, from what we're about to say. Oh. That's a good call over there. That's not a bad call. What happened to Eliyahu HaNavi? Some say his body was burnt by the heavenly fire, only his soul remained. Others said his body remained whole and unharmed, and he was carried through the air up to the Garden of Eden, right? And he was able to go up to the top time, you know, to the level of all the other tzaddikim, as if his body was completely tahor. The reason why Moshe Rabbeinu had to die and Eliyahu HaNavi did not is because Eliyahu HaNavi's task on earth had not yet been completed. His task was to be the vaser before Mashiach came, and Mashiach hasn't come yet, so therefore his job isn't done, so therefore he didn't die. Although there are those that say that Moshe Rabbeinu himself didn't die as well. The line of the Gemara in Sota Daf Yud Gimel says, Moshe Ominu Meshamish B'Marom. He's up there in Shemayim, and the famous line is, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. That David Melech, Moshe Rabbeinu, and Yaakov Avinu, Yisrael, are Chai V'Kayim. David, Melech, and Yisrael are Chai V'Kayim, that they're alive and well, and that they never die. And it says that by Yaakov Avinu as well. By Yigla, by Yamas,
by Yigla.
You are right. It says by Yigla, those that by Yamas.
And David,
Yamas Shem Moshe.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it says by Yamas Shem Moshe.
Yaakov was mummified, and
that's the kash of the Gemara. The Gemara says, they gave him a husband, they embalmed him, and they buried him. So is that for naught? So the famous answer of the Gemara is Mikra Nidarish, I'm darshaning a pasuk. And it seems that it's very esoteric. Tosfos is the crazy part. Tosfos says, the chain nira, says Tosfos over there in Zionist, and it makes sense, because when Esav was being brought to be buried, you know, going up to the Maris Mapelah, so remember, Chushim ben Dan cut off his head, and the head rolled into the Maris Mapelah, and Yaakov smiled. Says Tosfos, from there, it seems that Yaakov, you know, never died.
But that's a Torah, the text of the Torah.
Tosis is using it, the chayim mirah. He's using it as a raya. That was his raya.
The
his raya that Yaakov never died. Yaakov Yidu Lomais, he brings that as his raya.
Again, the whole idea of using a midrash to contradict the
psukim,
the text of the pasuk.
He didn't die. He didn't garish his people.
No, but he died.
And also he was involved and buried.
There is a famous question. I have a massive share on this in Parshas Vayechi of a couple years ago. I gave a massive share on this, on whether or not he died and whatever and stuff like that. I will say that the wording of the pasuk, the best word that I ever heard was the Cheshach Shlomo. It says, Yaakov Inu never died in the Mitzrayim. He was in a comatose state. He was never fully embalmed, not the way the other Egyptians were.
I was just
going
to say, because that's a painful...
Yeah, no, that's a Shalos Shalos Sam Sofer and Or HaChaim goes through the embalming period of what they did. But he was what's it called? He was different from regular embalming, and he was in a coma until he got to Maraswan Pela, and he died there. And that's when he really died. It's a famous line. The other line is because the Nebuah, Rivka Imenu, said, both of my sons will die on the same day. That was how Lama Eshkulu Shnecham Biyom Echad said they were going to saw. So the Gemara says that they died on the same day. They died on the same day. And Rashi says that as well in part of Vayechi.
Maybe the Gemara it just disagrees with the Midrash that says
but the Pesach Shlomo says it makes sense. He was in a comatose state and then he was buried.
So is there a connection between the Susei Eish and the fact that Eliyahu performed the miracle
in Eish? For sure, the Eish is 100% true. Yeah. The question is why the horse is in the chariot? Why couldn't the chariot pull itself? But yes, 100% the Eish is because of his fire in Har Carmel. That for sure is going to be there. It is pretty good, isn't it? Anyway, the Elisha Roa Behu Mitzaik. Heavy of you, Rechem Yisrael. Elisha saw it and he cried out loud, my father, the chariot of Israel, Parasha, and all of his horsemen. Now that's a strange line. Some say that refers to Eliyahu HaNavi itself. Others say that refers to the way that Eliyahu HaNavi protected people, like horses and chariots protected other people. Others say it refers to Yaakov Avinu, that Yaakov was able to protect his children from all the enemies that we've had. V'lo ra'u od, he never saw him again. And he held on to his clothing, and he tore them into two different pieces. Now the funny thing is that how did he know he wasn't going to see them again? So it could be that this is a nevuah. You will never see him again. But the line of Aloro Ode, he didn't see him again. Well, obviously he was tearing Kriya right now, but he did go into Velos. Halachically, if you are close to your Rebbe, meaning this is like a Rebbe Muvok, then you sit in a Velos. And you do have to tear Kriya, and you have to do everything like that. That's that. The reason why he was able to tear up his cloak and not worry about being naked is because, remember, Eliyahu Navi already gave him the other cloak. Remember he took off that Adaris and he hit the river with it? Well, then it was given to him, so now he had another cloak to wear, so he wasn't worried about that.
Somebody takes off their cloak, they're not naked, they're not wearing their cloak.
Well, it could be. Well, it could be that there, but halakhically, when we deal with these things, usually you tear every pair of clothing that you have.
Wasn't there no one there anywhere?
I'm sorry?
Were they the only one?
Well, the Nevi'im were looking down on it. Remember, that's what he said before, that they were looking down and watching all this happen, but they could not see Eliyahu Navi being taken off the shrine. They just saw that Eliyahu Navi had disappeared. But this is also weird. This is not normal Kriya. Normal Kriya, obviously, by appearance, you do it on the left-hand side, right by the heart, and you tear, you know, all the way down, right around there. But he tore his clothing into half, meaning they were literally this shnayim kroyim. That's not a normal kriya. This is a complete and utter kriya. The reason why is because he no longer needed it. It could be also that he was now on a different level. He literally felt it.
And now he's torn.
Yeah, he felt it, so he probably was not
maybe
was worthy now of wearing that
kriya. Right, yeah. It was like a promotion. It was like he's tearing this up because now he ascended the level of
and now he's the leader.
The
head navi. But Yoramet said there is Eliyahu. He now picked up the cloak of Eliyahu Asher Nafal Me'elav that fell from him. But Yashav Yamanol sought the Yarden, and he went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan River. Yikach the Adaris Eliyahu, he took the Adaris of Eliyahu. Sure enough, I love that it had fallen from him. But Yakas Amayim, and he hit the water with it. But Yomar Ayyeh Hashem Elokei Eliyahu. Where is Hashem, the God of Israel? Afhu, even he, right? By Yakas Amayim, he was able to hit the water, Vayechatu, and it split. Hainavah Yabor Elisha. And Elisha was able to pass by. So it seems the following, that he took the cloak and hit it, thus making the waters go back.
Oh.
That's what happened. And then Then he hit it a second time, right, and he made the water split again so he could walk through. That's what it sounds like. It could be that the first time he wasn't able to do it, that's when he said, like, why is God?
Why would you want to close it and then open it again? If it's already open, walk through it.
The latter makes more sense.
So he has a lot of good stuff over here. He says, the question was, he wanted to see if his request was going to be granted. He had never performed a miracle before this time, and something he had never even been a Navi before this time. Remember that Nevi'im came up to him and said, Elisha, did you know that Eliyahu is a Navi is going to die today? Because he had never been granted prophecy before. It could be this is the first time. So now he was trying to see if what he had been asked for had been given to him. And this was his first miracle of doing something over here.
In context, it makes more sense that he hit the water and nothing happened. And then he says, where's the God of Eliyahu? With prophecies. Then he does it again, and then the water split.
See, that would be more like the second way that I said, that he tried doing it, it didn't work, and then it worked again. But then the kasha is, why? Why did that work? Most people say that the reason why have to hit it twice is because when Eliyahu and Avi hit it once, it was good enough because there were two great men who it was going to split for. Over he hit it twice because it was only one great man that was passing through, so therefore he had to have that
amount. Eliyahu in order to get it to happen.
And that's probably the reason why. So why he said it in the word Ayeh, I don't know, but you should know that Ayeh is a shame of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ayeh is close enough to it. It could be that that's what he was doing, trying to get all those all together. If you notice, by the way, all of those words that he said all deal with the shame of Hashem. Ayeh is Aleph Yud Hey of Ayeh. Yud Kei Vav Kei, obviously. L-O-K, and then El Yud Hey Vav of Eliyahu. So every single word that he said was a shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's possible that if you ever wanted to split a river, these are the words you're supposed to say. I don't know, I've never tried it. So I'll tell you when I get there. I just haven't had the need to split a river just yet. So, but that is the way I know. I'm sorry. But soon.
No, bring them.
I know, that would be awesome. But I don't know if it goes to your car. By Yeru B'nei Nevi'im Asher B'Yericho, the sons of the Nevi'im that were in Yericho B'Negev, they saw him from afar. By Yomru Nachal Ruach Eliyahu Elisha, the spirit of Eliyahu Nevi'im has landed on Elisha. They have only crossed and they came to greet him. By Yishtach V'lo Arza, and they bowed down to him to the ground. Behold, there are 50 brave men of your servants. Let's go and search for your master. Let's go look for Eliyahu Navi. Maybe the spirit of God has carried him to another place. He's now on one of the mountains, or one of the valleys. When he said to them, don't send. At this point, they lost their nevuah. They had not yet been subservient to Elisha. They were subservient to Eliyahu, but Eliyahu Navi is done. He's gone. So once that happened, they lost their ability to prophesy until they made themselves talmidim of Elisha. That's what they have to do. They have to make themselves a talmidim.
You have to be a talmid of the head Navi?
By nevuah, yes. Because nevuah stems through. It goes through shefa, like little, almost like pipes that go all the way through. The only way for it to go through is through the head Navi, and then it goes to the others. It doesn't work any other way. Where do you think they got it from?
That's
exactly where they got it from. You have a stem. It goes through the great Rebbe, and then it goes down to his chassidim. That's why even if the chassidim in theory are greater than the Rebbe in Torah, Avodah, etc., nonetheless, the Shefa extends through him.
To appoint the head Navi, because God is saying he is the Navi.
Correct.
But a Rebbe, I mean, if... How does he ascend the throne of the Hasidus just because people like
that? I can't ask. My Rebbe, when it came to these things, was not a Hasidus. He actually hated the Hasidus, even though he happened to be Gerer. But you know, he had a very Lithuanian background, learning wise. So he was always against it. But I hear where they're coming. They're coming from this, even though it's not exactly. And they feel that the Rebbe is Ruach HaKodesh. So if they feel that way and they think that the Rebbe is Ruach HaKodesh, I guess that works. By Yisru Bo Ad Bosh, they pressed him until it was too much. By Yomer Sholhu. All right, if you want to, go ahead and send. By Yisrael Chamishimish, they sent out 50 men. They searched for 3 days. They couldn't find him anywhere. By Yisrael Love, they came back to Yoshi Birichu. Didn't I tell you not to go? And the real idea is that Elisha is trying to tell them, you guys are going to have to start listening to me now. You guys are going to have to start listening to my word and dealing with what I'm dealing with, because otherwise you're not going to get anything again. By Yomer Achayir Elisha. Listen, the place that we're sitting in this city is not nice. Kasharati Nuroa, as you see. Now, Chazal say that this is a bad place to live in. It was a terrible place because the waters were bitter, the land was disgusting, and everything like that. But everybody loves the city to live in. Even if you live in Cleveland, you like Cleveland. Even if you live in Detroit, you like Detroit. You know what I'm saying? You live in India, in the middle of nowhere. You like the, you like that area.
That's you like where you live.
Exactly. That, that's what it is. But when you're born and brought up in that area, even if
isn't
you're stuck
Gemara,
here, you love it.
Gemara says that, that a person's hometown is like
it's it. It's from this Hine Nam Moshe Vahirto. This is where it comes from.
But there's Gemara that explains it that way.
Yeah, 100%. This is based out of Gemara. Kasharati Nuro, like you see. Look at what they said. But the water is terrible, and the land is destructive. Well, what's good about the land? The land destroys its inhabitants, and the land is bad. But some say that this is the area where that makes sense. There you go. That's exactly it.
So,
Yoshua's curse. Yoshua's curse applied in this area. Remember, Yoshua cursed the area of Jericho that it was going to be disgusting. So this is the area that was right around that area. And they said, it's Mishakalas. It makes you lose your children by living here. Because that's what happened to Chiel when he had, you know, built up the city. He lost all his kids. Go get me a brand new jar. See what Shabbat I can put salt in there. Vayikol love, they brought it to him. Okay, so the reason why they needed an open jar is they didn't want to think that there was anything in the jar that could cure the water. Salt, on the other hand, does not make any sense to put in water. That's not going to make it any less bitter or for the water to be any, for the ground to be any better. The ground's not going to get better from salt. The ground is destroyed by salt. Nonetheless, he said, give me the salt. He went out to the source of the water, and he threw the salt there. So says God, let the waters be healed. There should be no more death and no more loss of life. They all healed up until that time. Lots of stuff over here that I want to add on to this. I mentioned about another way, it's just stopped. Number one, if you look, he said, he once again davened for the miracle to happen. This is the second miracle that he's done, second time that he's davened for the miracle. The first time is when he said all those shemas of Hashem. Here he said it as well. So I'm pointing that out again. Number two, he said the word repisi lamayim with a pay. He says by yirfu yerafu amayim. Now in our Shemona Esrei we say refa'inu Hashem b'nei rafe. Yet in the Torah it says verapo yerafe. The answer is rapo yerafe. Right? The word rapo yerafe is with a pay because it's referring to a doctor. A human doctor is going to hurt you. But refa'inu Hashem b'nei rafe for Hashem to heal us is going to be softer. And that's why it's known as a fe rafe without the pay kasha. And that's the difference between it. He wanted repisi lamayim. He's asking to heal it. Hashem did even more so by Rafu Amayim. And it was done through HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly, and that's that. This was a tremendous miracle, two times the size of the Mount of Eliyahu, because although Eliyahu was able to bring down water, he was able to get water, and Moshe Rabbeinu was able to do it as well, this was salt making the water sweet,
but
which didn't make any sense.
The difference between Rafu and Rafu, it's a grammatical difference. I don't think it has to do with the...
So that's the Pashup Shah. That is the Pashup Shah, and I agree with you. Just I'm pointing out, this is what we say for Rafu Hashem and Rafay, and what we say for Rafu Yerafay. The reason why is because Rafu Yerafay is by human doctor, Rafa'inu is by Hashem, and therefore there's a difference. But you are correct that in grammatical, you know, in I don't know grammatically. Is that supposed to be that way? But, can it be Rafu? You can't have Rafu.
There's no Yud there, so it's a Tzirak Tana. I think this is the rule, if I remember. Then the pay is, it got to be, has a dime.
Kasha is really what comes first.
What?
Yeah, the question is what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Did that only come for the fact that
these boards exist, but grammar, I don't think they made the rules of grammar based on one board about this.
No, it would have been on other things as well, but there's always a reason. One thing that I've been doing this year, the paper Tiny to Krov, Rabbi Ruchain Kniyatsky, one thing that he concentrates on, and he says over and over and over again, whenever there's a vav missing from a word, but the word Sipor, this week's Parsha, Balak Ben Sipor, Sipor is always with a vav, except for two places. It's written Sadi Pei Resh. And he says a crazy board, that every time it's Sipor with a vav, it's referring to his actual father, whose name was Sipor. Whatever it says without the vav, he's referring to the fact that Balak was a magician, and Balak, with his magics, was able to create a bird. This is brought down by the Yalkut Shimoni, the Yalkut Ruveni, it's brought down by Tzidah, and everything. Rechaim Kniyatsky says, when he refers to that, he's referring to the bird that he used to do his magics to be able to find out what to do against Klal Yisrael. He's specifically known as Balak Ben Sipor without a vav. What I'm saying is that I agree, there obviously are grammatical differences over here. That doesn't mean you don't darshan the reason reason why it happens to be this way, even though it seems so obvious grammatically. Meaning, yeah, what's first, the chicken or the egg? That's what I mean by that.
The grammar could be, this could become a Tana, and then there would be a pay in there or something. And
that would be that. That'd be that. So I can't ask you that. I would think after a Kamat, there would be a Tanua Gadola, which
yeah, but then again, what do you do with the second? What do you do with the second?
No, a Kamat is Tanua Gadola. Sorry. A Kamat is Tanua Gadola.
It is a
Tanua Gadola.
Should that be by your Apu?
No.
You guys took your Greek class.
No.
I'm going to test on this on Monday.
No, it's
a Rasay.
If it comes after Tanua Gadola, it's a negation. If it comes after Tanua Gadola, it's a
negation.
I don't know. All right, so let's see what we got over here.
Without a Yud, is it Tanua Gadola?
I wish I would have gone through this. There is an Ibn Ezra about this stuff. We'll be another eventually.
Yeah.
The third time around, you'll get to it.
But no, I don't think so.
I think actually that was my davening. I'm saying, because I know I'm actually pronouncing words more correctly.
That's the reason to take a great class. To finally be able to get up. Yalmi Shem Beis El, Tor, and Puzzle of Gimel. Yalmi Shem Beis El, he went from there to Beis El, who all of Adarik is going up by the road. And Aron Kitan, you asked me to hear, there were young men coming out from the city. Now, they weren't literally little kids. This refers to men who acted like children. Like, it's Kalsuvo, they made fun of him. By Emilu, Ale Kerak, get out of here, Baldy, get out of here, Baldy. Now, Elisha was bald. Elisha was bald. Nonetheless, Kerak can also be used in a positive form. Yeshua ben Korcha, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, was the son of Rabbi Akiva, according to Tosus on Kuf Memel and Aleph and Shabbos, as well as Ben Azai said about Rabbi Akiva, in a Gemara Bechoros, I believe it's on Nun Tat, I don't remember exactly, but he says, everybody in front of me is like Klipas Hashum, they're like a shell of an onion. Chutz Mina Kerak is there referring to Rabbi Akiva. So Kerak can refer in a good way to somebody that's great, like Rabbi Akiva, that he was able to.
How did you get
but this
from balls
is,
to great?
What?
How did you get from balls?
The line is that you're tearing out your hairs in order to learn Torah correctly, to get it correctly. Nonetheless, this was definitely an insult. There's no question about it. But even after he turned behind him by your aim and he saw them. By Yikalim B'Shem Hashem, he cursed them in the name of Hashem. It's Hitzena Shnayim Dubim Midiyar. Two bears came out from the forest. Vatamaknav Mehem Arbayim Shnei Yeladim. They were able to kill 42 boys. They tore apart 42 boys among them. Now,
that reminds you was a little bit meat up here.
Very much so. Very, very much so. There's a lot of crazy stuff over here. Number one, Elisha saw that all of them had been conceived on Yom Kippur. Therefore, he knew that all of them were evil. And
that's their parents.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. But it was their evil nature that was going to make them get worse and worse and worse. Number one. Number two, others say that, I know, but others say that he saw that their hair was cut in the style of the non-Jews. So he realized that they were non-Jewish, they were acting like non-Jews and everything like that. That's number three. Now, you should know, number two, you should know, by the way, that Elisha did get punished for this. He became sick three times in his life. One of them was because of this, that he allowed for these kids to be killed, and that was like that. Others say that these were children of the priests of the Baal. Now, the priests of the Baal, right, said they were mocking him by saying that you're the one, you're the Talmud of Elio and Avi, etc. And Elisha knew that these guys were going to be evil, and they were going to follow the ways of the Baal, they weren't going to do anything good, and therefore he killed them. Others say that these were water carriers. They were the ones who carried the water from the other cities to the city that had bitter waters. So when they now were not able to carry the water, they got upset, and they called out Elisha for it, and that's that. Who were the two bears? Some say that it represents Elisha and Elio and Avi. 42 is because it's an allusion to the Torah, the Divarta Bum, is the Gemara 42. But there is an unreal rush in this week's Parsha's Balak. It happens to be that it works out perfectly this way. When Balak brought all of his korbanos, he brought 14 korbanos and 14 korbanos and 14 korbanos. Kadosh Baruch Hu does not take away the reward for somebody who does such great things. 14 plus 14 plus 14 is 42. Says the rush is in the back of the Mikras Gedolos Chodesh. At that moment that he brought 42 korbanos, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, 42 Jews from Klal Yisrael are going to be killed. 42 Jews are going to be killed. Moshe Rabbeinu davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and did not want it to happen during his lifetime. Yoshua davened and asked for it not to happen during his lifetime. Asmiel ben Kenaz davened and asked for it not to happen during his lifetime, and it went down. From Navi to Navi to Navi, all the Shoftim, all the way down to the Nevi'im, from Shmuel and Navi down to the times of Achia Shiloni, all the way to Elio and Navi, and now to Elisha. When Elisha saw this happening, he said, now. And he brought the curse of Bilam Balak. The Seder Adoros brings down Seder Adoros right there. You can look it up. Seder Adoros says, these two bears were Bilam and Balak. They were the Gilgulim of Bilam and Balak. And not only that, they brought about, there wasn't even a forest there beforehand. He created the forest for the bears to be there. Elisha made a forest there at that moment to bring about Bilam and Balak, to take the revenge on those 42 kids. It's unbelievable. So, in order for the bears to not be because if the bears go into like a regular city, they get scared. They should be in their element, so that they know that they're in a regular element itself.
Two bears to kill 42 people running away.
Yeah. First of all, you should know they're in Israel. The bears that live in Israel, that live around Israel, are only Syrian brown bears. They are not big. They are absolutely not big. You know the famous Gemara of Rabbi Chanina Mendoza that his goats came back with bears on their horns, the Gemara in Tainus and that fucking or whatever. Right. So the bears that came back with the things on top of their horns, you're a little bit ahead. Dude, you're a little bit ahead. I'm just saying. You're like four blot ahead right now. I'm just saying. Either way, yeah, that is pretty much. Either way, but they came back. There's no way for a goat to be able to fit a bear on his head unless the bears are smaller bears, because Syrian bears are smaller than other bears. See, you can see the bear right over there. These bears could not have been big, so that's what makes it even more shocking. They were not able. Bears are very quick creatures. No question they could catch up with a human being. But catch up with 42 different kids.
And then kill each one?
That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy.
What are like the ones that we've heard of, big ones, the grizzly bears?
Grizzly bears. The bigger, browner polar bears, the biggest bears in the world, all live up north when it's freezing, where it's freezing cold, and they need more fur, more body fat. That's why they're so big. Other bears, sun bears, spectacle bears, and these types of, you know, Asian brown bears, they're all much smaller. Finish over here, it says, Vayelech Misham al Har Carmel. He went from there to Har Carmel. Misham Shav Shomron. From there, he went to the Shomron. Let's start off with Tarek. Yehoram ben Achab, Malach HaYisrael b'Shomron, Mishnah Shimon Esrei, Lo Shachal Malach Yudav, Yimloch Shnei Esrei Shana. Yehoram, the son of Achab, was king of Yisrael in the Shomron in the 18th year of Yoshaphat, and he was king for a total of 12 years. Vayata Rabbi Nashem, he did evil in Israel. Rak Lo Ka'avi Ke'imo. He wasn't like his father Achab and his mother Jezebel. He did take down the stand of Baal that his father had done. He did not worship the Baal. But he was still able to do the sins of Yerubbaal ben Nebat. He did not turn away from
him.
That was the problem. The problem with Yerubbaal ben Nebat is that he convinced people that this was the form of their Beis HaMikdash, for those who were outside the Beis HaMikdash. People were convinced this was Judaism. And that if you argued against the Egel Azov, if you argued against them, they mamish held that you were totally against. They held that the sin of the Jews in the desert was that they were holding of that when they should have been holding of something different. But now that there is no Beis HaMikdash, they could hold of the Egel Azov. That's what they hold. They mamish were there, but he is praised for doing what they did. The Mishnah Azov, no, but there should be something else, like something else that they would have. By the way, if the Mishkan did come before Matan Torah, which is possible, it could have happened at Matan Torah itself. I mean, if you have, within the Psukim, it's Yisro Mishpatim Shumat Zavadeng.
Right, but doesn't it say that the Mishkan was erected in the second year of David?
It was erected, but they knew about it. They knew that it was going to be built, so that would be there. If you notice, by the way, he did not destroy Asherah. He might have gotten rid of Baal, but he didn't get rid of Asherah. Asherah was a female deity, which was worshipped by Izebel. That he wasn't able to get rid of. Plus, Dalit. Mesham el Moab had knuckled. Mesham el Moab, he had a lot of flocks. The Hajjal el Moab, Mea Elof Karim, Umea Elof Elim Summer. He would send Achav 100,000 fattened sheep and 100,000 rams with wool every year. That's a lot of stuff as his taxes. Vayi Kamoz Achav when Achav died. Vayi Shem el Moab Elof Israel. So the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. He decided, you know what? I don't have to do this anymore. Vayi Tam el Yoram Bayom, we went that day, Mesham el Moab. He went and mustered up all of an Israel to fight against Mesha Melech Moab. Yelech Yishach Yoshapha Melech Yudah Lamor. He went and he sent Yoshapha, the king of Yudah, saying, Melech Moab Pasha B, the king of Moab is no longer giving me tribute. Haseleich Etiyah Moab Lemochah, will you come with me to go fight against Moab? Yomer Ela Kamoni Kamocha, I will go up, like me is like you, Kami Kamecha, like my people is your people, Kseka, like my horses are your horses. Yoshapha may have said that because he took care of Avodah Zarah, he was greater than Achav. So although he wasn't supposed to fight with Achav, he should have fought over here. That's number one. Number two, it could be he felt that it was a danger to him as well. That Mesha Melech Moav, if he would have been so bold to go up against the king of Yisrael, perhaps he's ready to go up against him. So he might have thought that this is actual self-defense. He said, Yehoram asked Yoshaphat's advice. Yoshaphat was older, more attuned, and he was also a big Talmud Chacham. He said, but which road should we go up? He said, Derech Midbar Edom. Now, Yoshaphat is punished for this. He should have asked a Navi. You'd think he would have learned his lesson, but he had not asked a Navi or the Urim and Thummim. 100%. There was no reason for him not to do that. But he said, we can go through Edom and we'll be able to do this.
And did they really have to ask him every question?
No. I mean,
war, I thought you had to.
Yes. They didn't have to ask every question.
Types of war.
Fighting a war.
I thought it was only war.
You're going to their. You're going. This is a voluntary war. You're going to their land. You're not waiting for them to come to you.
Might
felt threatened in the future, but not for now. That's probably what he should ask. All the kings went together. Even the king of Edom decided to join with them. But they went around for 7 extra days. They didn't realize that they got stopped by storms or whatever it was, but it took 7 days to travel what they thought was going to be a quick little travel. They didn't have any water. And the animals that they had. This is bad. God has called these 3 things to go together to be put in the hands of Moab. Notice, by the way, this is the king of Israel. This is Yehoram who's saying this, the son of Ahaz. This is not a guy you didn't believe over to Zara. We'll have to stay with this for right now. Yeah, 100%. All right. We'll talk about this next time. We'll stop.
Okay. Interesting. Elisha was with them, with the group. So it seems like they must have asked him then, no?
How do you know Elisha was with the group?
It says, is there a Navi here? So yeah, Elisha's here.
I don't think he happened to be around the area at the time, not that he fought in the war. That's why they said, right now, should we go to a... Now all of a sudden Yosef wakes up and says, should we go to a Navi?
Yeah, let's go to a Navi.
All right, start, guys.
You're going on Mark's list, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's a wedding in California on a Monday night at 6 o'clock.
Explain that to him.
I'm going to go to Yeshiva just to say hello to anybody I know there, but that's about it. I just got it, guys. It's been fun. Mara's in the other room. Thank you.